Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Glad to have you with us at Burden and Blessing once again. We're refreshing our history of the different religions of the world today and going back to one of the Eastern religions that's found in Japan. There's going to be a lot of similarities between this religion and some of the other religions that we've considered in the past, and once again, we'll compare it to what we see and have in Christianity. We're going to take a look at the Japanese religion of Shintoism today. And joining me to go through this Eastern religion is Pastor Ben Libby. Ben, glad to have you with us today as we go through this religion.
Yeah, a very interesting religion found over there in Japan, but eager to get into it and talk to you about it, Nathaniel.
Let's start with a little bit of the background of Shintoism. Shintoism does share a lot of similarities with other Eastern religions that we have considered religions of the East, the Orient. It is a polytheistic religion. Let's start there. For those that aren't familiar or don't remember what polytheism is, can you explain a little bit about polytheism and how that is carried out in Shintoism?
Yeah. Well, we know that from the Bible that there is only one God. His name is Jehovah. He's our Lord. One God. So we call ourselves monotheistic, right? But many other religions say that there are many gods. These are the religions that we would call polytheistic, meaning many, poly, you know, being many. Here, Shintoism means the way of the kami, and what that term kami is, it's kind of like a catch-all term in this religion. Basically, it means the way of the gods. So, this religion believes in many, many gods. There are almost too many gods to even count, it seems like. There is one chief god that they follow, a certain sun god is called Amaterasu. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not, but they all have, it kind of mirrors the, at least in my research, it seems like it kind of mirrored the Greek and the Roman gods. They seem to have a god for everything. There is a sun god, there's a moon god, there's a harvest god. So they believe in many different gods, and these gods are, they kind of also act and perform the same way that the Greek and Roman gods do, not always holy like we would expect our God to act.
This is interesting. As we've looked at these religions of the world, we've seen a lot of similarities. And so with the polytheistic religions, it sounds a lot like Hinduism, where you've got these regional gods, or like you mentioned, the Greeks and the Romans, or I thought of the Egyptians as you were talking there too, you know, where you have a god that's over the sky and a god that's over the land and a god that's over harvesting. Why do you think these religions share those similarities, and do those similarities give credence to the fact that this is a real religion, or does it show that it's not?
Well, I think kind of to answer that question, it kind of brings me back to Romans chapter 1, 25, when Paul is talking about the pagans, how they worshiped the scene, or they worshiped the creature rather than the creator. And that's kind of, you definitely see that here too in Shintoism. They believe in this, what they can see, basically, and they also believe in what they can't see, but they explain it in this way that there's many spirits, many gods. There's a spirit or a god that goes through a waterfall or, you know, in the forest. So I think that kind of that broad topic of people who worship many different gods, where that comes from, you know, it kind of makes sense if you forget about, you know, the one true God, because you see all these, you can see these things, you have gods, you make them up to kind of explain the background and the stories. So I think that you can understand how these cultures got there. And I think one of the problems with Shintoism too is that just the nature of Japan itself, the country. It was so isolated for so long that this religion just kind of, it didn't have a founder. You know, we talked about Eastern religions, you know, with like Buddhism, there's a definite founder there. This was just kind of like a cultural tradition of ideas just kind of coming together and being formed and just staying on the island of Japan for years and years and years, and it got so ingrained, it's almost more like a Japanese tradition than a religion, I'd say. So I think that's kind of the problem, is that these ideas, they just kind of, they kept growing, and then they kept, and they got isolated, and that kind of got them where they were, or where they are today, I'd say.
One of the interesting things about these religions, as we've looked at them and the similarities, is it really does point to, you were talking about Romans earlier, It really does point to the natural knowledge of God. By nature, we know that there is a God. You talked about the isolation of Japan. You want to try to explain that away or find that God, but you do it in natural ways. And so while they were isolated, what's interesting, like some of the other Eastern religions, is that as other religions then did come into the isolation of Japan, it changed Shintoism. So it has evolved over the years, which is interesting in the sense that a religion shouldn't evolve. If it is what it is, it should stay the same way. But Shintoism has changed as it was influenced by Buddhism. It changed as it was influenced by Taoism. It changed as it was influenced by Confucianism. And even now, it's very different today. You pointed out the cultural aspect. It almost has lost the idea of the religion. The religion isn't really important for the people of Japan anymore, is it?
No. And that's kind of the strange thing, too, is that I was reading some kind of stat that 80% of the population in Japan is essentially a Shintoist, but not many of them would actually identify as a Shintoist or like put that down on like a census. It's really strange. It's more like if you're gonna identify or say that you are a Shintoist in Japan, it's kind of like you got to be a part of these certain very specific sects of it, like different, like very specific groups and followers of different, like kind of leaders, I guess. That's how I understand it, at least. So they all are like it, but they're not. It's this combination that Buddhism came in through the 5th and 6th century, and they kind of live at peace with each other. It seems like if you're going to have a wedding in Japan, that you would have a Shinto priest proceed or do the wedding. But if you would have a death in Japan, you would have a Buddhist monk officiate that. So those two religions kind of live together in Japan too, it seems, for the most part. So very strange. It's more like a cultural tradition than a religion, even though it's very much has religion in it, and it has these religious principles, and it has dogma. It's just, it seemed very strange to me when I was researching it.
In a lot of ways, Ben, Shintoism reminds me a lot of when we studied the idea of Darwinism. You know, people would look at Darwinism and they would say it's not a religion, but it is. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the way that Shintoism has evolved now too. A lot of people would not say that it is a religion, although it does show religious tenets, and it does have a religious foundation. So there are some really strange things about it. There are some ironic parts of Shintoism. Unlike many other religions, it does not have a heaven. It does not have a hell. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't have a creed or a confession. There's very little as far as a philosophy that governs or rules it. You know, you don't have people out there doing evangelism and trying to get people to become Shinto. So those are odd things. Those are things that are very much a part of what we would consider to be Christian virtues and ideals and doctrines. Mm-hmm. But you don't find that within Shintoism. And that's why a lot of times people will say, well, you know, it's not a religion. But as you pointed out, yes, Shintoism really does have a foundation in all of these different gods that rule these different aspects of people's life. And even though people don't practice it that way, it's more of a way of their life or their culture. Like you said, when you're going to get married, you're going to do that with a Shinto priest just because that's the way my parents did it and their parents did it, and their great grandparents did it. That's why you do it, as opposed to because you actually believe it.
Yeah, it's more, yeah, it is really an ingrained tradition, I think. And it does have roots in religious, you know, philosophies. So to say that, you know, that's not it's not really a religion, it's more a tradition or, you know, something like that. Well, that's not true, because they're definitely talking about spiritual things. So, yeah, and there are some strange practices and teachings, and it seems like this is kind of what happens when you have one religion, you know, developing over time and, you know, taking on other religions, and it just kind of staying there, and you get this huge different conglomeration of different ideas, and there's all kinds of different Eastern ideas found in Shintoism.
Let's stop there for just a minute and compare that to Christianity.
Okay.
So you have this idea of an ever-changing, evolving, maybe we wouldn't even call it a religion, but a way of life, so to speak, that is based on a religion. How does that differ from what we have in Christianity?
Yeah, I think the Word of God doesn't change, and this religion changes and evolves. So you see, you know, that there's a little different. There's difference there. It is kind of interesting comparing this religion to Christianity, just kind of like the different tenets. So, like, for example, Shintoism does not believe in good or evil, at least not all good or all evil. It kind of, there are things that are, they just are what they are. So these gods, sometimes they'll do good things, and sometimes they'll do bad things, but they're not in and of themselves good or bad. You know, an idea that's very parallel to what we believe, you know, being God versus Satan, you know, completely good versus completely bad. So they wouldn't believe in a good or a bad. It just kind of is what it is. And, you know, they do have some, there are some things that kind of remind me of Christianity to a certain extent. They're really into washing and ceremonial cleanness, kind of like, you know, like Judaism for, you know, for it back in the days of Jesus, even. And being ritualistically clean is a big thing in Shintoism. But at the same time, they're all over the board, Nathaniel. They believe in so many different things. It's hard to really pinpoint it down to one crucial thing. And I think with our word that we have from God, that he does not change, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's just so, it's just such a comforting thing that, you know, that our God does not change at all, and what he has said from the beginning of time still remains true to this day.
It kind of reminds me of what some people are trying to do to Christianity, where they want to water Christianity down and allow all of these different views or opinions or ideas to be accepted within Christianity and still call it Christianity. And when you do that, you really lose the truth, don't you? It's all gone when you take that away and you say, well, you can believe whatever you want to believe, or you can accept or carry it out or practice or live whatever, however you want. Then it's no longer objective, it's now subjective. Mm-hmm. And whenever we come back to subjectivity, we can never be certain of our salvation or anything, because it isn't based on God, on what is objectively true, who he is, what he has done for us. It seems like by making that change, whether it be in Shintoism or what people are trying to do within Christianity today, you lose certainty. You lose what is distinct about God and what he has accomplished for us. It's just really a sad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think too that the no absolutes in Shintoism, like you touched on with subjectivity, Nathaniel, is really the problem. There's a lot of different people who would adhere to different principles of Shintoism, and the belief from person to person would just range wildly, I think. They'd believe, like, one person who was a Shintoist, quote-unquote, would believe all these other things, and another person would believe all these other things. And they might not necessarily, you know, match up. And, you know, I feel like that's just such a contrary thing to what we have in Christianity when we confess the same thing. You know, we believe the same thing. They might not. So it's just a real comfort that we have a very organized and structured religion that is the truth, and whereas we don't have to believe on this nationalistic tradition / religion that's been, you know, just passed down from generations to generations.
You just mentioned something that was important and I think distinct about Shintoism. You talked about, you know, it being nationalistic. Mm-hmm. One of the unique features, and it's been lost a little bit maybe in the last 60 years or more within this Japanese religion, but going back in its history, we see this being carried out in Shintoism. They believe that their religion, their race, their culture was supreme above every other. And we kind of see that manifest, particularly in World War II in our lifetime. Well, not in our lifetimes, but yeah. In more recent history as opposed to a past history, where, you know, the Japanese culture wanted to take over the world because they thought they were the best, supreme, most advanced, most important culture, sort of like what you had going on at the same time in Europe. Mm-hmm. Under Hitler with the Aryans. That it seems like that has been lost a little bit as the culture has watered it down a little bit. But do you want to touch on that aspect of Shintoism as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically what that all goes back to is that there's a belief in Shintoism that the Japanese people themselves are descended from Amaterasu, that sun goddess. So they believe that they are superior. The religion believes the Japanese people are superior to foreigners. So thus you get that, you know, that kind of isolated religion that's, you know, they're not going to be going out into the whole world and preaching this message like we would do with Christianity. They would be more like, stay on their island. We're the descendants of the real God. Kind of, you know, it really reminds me, Nathaniel, of really the Jews and Jesus. They, you know, depending on their lineage from Abraham to kind of get them to heaven. I think that kind of applies here too. And really it's sad because they believe in the kami, the many gods. And kind of what they kind of have this Roman Catholic idea too of sainthood almost, except it's more than sainthood. It's men becoming gods themselves. You actually could, if you were a man, a very important man in Japan, you could be elevated up into the role of a god. And most of the time this would happen when men would die. They would kind of like, you know, with like the Pope would do with saints, I guess, quote unquote saints. But sometimes you could even be alive and be deified. And this was a common practice with the Emperor of Japan. They would see this man, this ruler, this emperor, as a god. And that was a practice that happened all throughout. It finally ended, like you were hinting at, Nathaniel, after World War II, when the Emperor of Japan surrendered and then denounced this whole practice, saying that he wasn't really a god. And that kind of actually ended Shintoism as the official national religion of Japan after World War II. So that was good, but it's still very heavily practiced today.
Look at the contrast between that and Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be Islam or Shintoism like this, which has an idea of racism, of your culture, your nationality being the best, being better than everyone else. In Christianity, you have the exact opposite. You know, Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. A lot of times people look at Christianity and they want to talk about the differences between male and female, you know, or that it is an oppressive religion because it puts females down, or that it teaches slavery or whatever else. But in reality, Christianity is the one religion that shows that we are all equals in the eyes of God. We're all equal in that we are all sinful and in need of a Savior, but we are also all equal in the fact that Christ has come not just to save some, but all people, no matter what their background was, no matter what their gender is, no matter what their age is, there's none that are set aside, that are not redeemed by Christ.
Right. I think when you talk about universal justification, it doesn't get much more, you know, exclusive or inclusive than that. Everyone's sins were paid for on the cross by Jesus. So the way to salvation is open for everyone. Shintoism, you have to be Japanese. Maybe I'm not sure if you can convert, if there is some kind of way that you can, if you were like a foreigner and you married into a Shinto family, if you could be converted. I'm not really sure how that works. But even if you were to do that, they would still probably look down on you if they were, you know, really adhering to the Shinto code. But, you know, when you talk about Christianity, it's so inclusive of everyone. Like you said, everyone's sins are paid for, and that's our goal, right? That is the mission that Jesus left us with when he ascended to heaven. Before he gave us the Great Commission, he said, go therefore into all the nations and make disciples of them. And that's what we have been trying to do ever since Jesus left, is to go and preach his name to all these nations. And Shintoism, they're happy to stay on their island and to just live with this religion. And, you know, it's kind of sad.
And really, in essence, with no religion at all, in the end, because it's an empty religion. It offers no hope. Like we talked about, there's no afterlife. Mm-hmm. It offers you nothing. And so, like you said, it's just about this life. And if this life is all that there is, how empty is that? Mm-hmm. What Christianity offers, as we have seen with all of these different religions that we've studied, both the Eastern religions and some of the others, Christianity is unique. It offers something that we cannot get anywhere else. It is based on the objective truth of what God has done for us, coming in the flesh to become man, to take on our sin, to live the life that we were required to live but couldn't. And all of that has been given to us as a gift. You know, there's no grace in Shintoism.
No.
But there is grace in Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we should greatly value and appreciate. Thank God that he has revealed that truth to us.
Yeah. I think the flaw in Shintoism that it goes back to is, there is no good or bad. Well, if there's no good or bad, then why would you need a savior if there's no bad? You know, like that concept of sin, I think that's pretty absent from Shintoism,
right,
largely. And if you don't have sin, then you don't need grace.
Right.
But like Jesus said, he did not come for those who think that they're healthy. He came for the sick. And we know that we're sick. We know that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we need a great physician who can come and heal us. And that is what Jesus did with his life and his death and his resurrection.
Well, thanks for taking us through this, Ben. Some of these Eastern religions are, well, even the religions in general, are unfamiliar to many of us. But I think one of the greatest values in studying these Eastern religions, whether we ever run into somebody who practices such a religion or not, is it does direct us back to what we actually do have. It points us to Christ and what he has won for us that is distinct from the religions of the world. We pray that the Lord would lead us to a greater appreciation for that salvation that he has won, that is found in the person and work of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you have any questions about Shintoism or any other religions that you would like to see us take a look at in future podcasts, please send us an email at burdenandblessing@gmail.com. We'll be glad to take a look at that and study some of those, share a few of those thoughts with you. We have just a couple of religions left on our list that we would like to cover for sure. Keep an eye out for those in future podcasts as well. And join us for our reviews and our Bible studies as well as our Word of the Week. Thanks for joining us this week, and may the Lord bless your week.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.